Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
I would invite you this morning to follow along as we read these words from the book that we love, starting here in Luke 18, starting in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who humbles themselves, for everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Amen. I want to try something with us this morning to hopefully demonstrate and help us to get an understanding of what's happening here in our scripture passage. And in order to do this, I'm going to require some help. I'm going to need some help. And I'm going to require a lot of help, actually. Now, before your hearts start to race, just be assured, all you have to do is stand there. You don't have to say anything, okay? But if I call your name this morning, I need you to come on up. In the first group of people, I need you to come on up. And if you could stand over here, kind of on the floor area right here, okay? So if I call your name right now, would you make your way over here, okay? Fair enough. Let's see. So I just gotta kind of think through this here a little bit. Who I want to bring up here this morning? Kate Bills, how about you? Linda Tagus, how about you? Come on up here. I saw Linda's face just fall. Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. It's gonna be all right. Who else? Martha, I'm gonna have you come on up. That'd be great. Who else do I want? Kristen, let's have you come on up. Mary, let's have you come on up. Who else is probably, Lila, would you be willing to come on up? Yeah, Lila shook her head too. It's going to be okay, Lila, it's all right. Anybody else? Ray, let's have you come on up. Mindy, yes, you too. You guys, I think that'd be pretty good. If you guys can gather over there, it'd be great. Now, they're going to make their way over here. Now, if I say your name, I'm going to ask that you kind of come over in this area, okay? So kind of on the floor over here, all right? So again, I just kind of got to go through, well, John Webb and Eric Heinen, I'm looking at both of you guys. Yes, you. Brad Massey, yep, you too. Barry, I'd like you as well. Jared Bogard, let's have you come on up. Harlan Van Dist, let's have you come. Who else? Let's see. Mark Tagus, Linda's over here. Mark, all of you go over here. Let's do that. You guys can, commiserate together. Nick Kendrick, how about you? John Wallenberg, and Ben, yes, Ben, you as well. Why don't you come on up? You guys form over there, stand over there, okay? And they're going to make their way. I think we've got, well, it's fairly even. Can you guys shove that way a little bit? That'd be great, yes. You're the 18. Yeah, you're the 18. They're the 18. Yeah, you're the 18. Seriously. All right. So we're getting our groups together here. Let's imagine this morning that I have been assigned a task. And that task is that I need to find someone with a particular trait. And that trait is I need to find someone who is tall. All right? So I'm going to look out at our congregation, and I'm going to pick, so I don't get in too much trouble, I'm just going to pick Heather, my wife Heather. And I'm going to have her come up, doesn't have to say anything, just has to stand here and look pretty, and she's good at that, right? Points, yes, right? All right, I'm going to have you stand right here. Okay, so Heather is 5'10", all right? And so I think that maybe she's fairly tall, right? So that's my job, is I need to find someone who is tall. But in order for me to for sure know that she is tall, I probably need to compare her to some other people. So I'm going to have our first group come on up here. If you guys could come on up on the stage, Heather, I'm going to have you kind of step forward. And if you guys could come all the way around Heather and surround her behind her and to the side of her, that would be helpful for us this morning in my task of trying to find someone who is tall. So come right around Heather. Come right around. Linda, you cannot hide behind Heather. But get nice and close to Heather there. Can you guys surround her? All right. So now I need your help as a congregation here. To help me out here, can you help me if the question is, I need to find someone who's tall. Is Heather tall? Yes. I think as we compare here, Heather is tall. Very good. So that I'm hopefully accomplishing my goal here of finding someone who is tall. But like any good scientist or researcher, I probably should do this experiment again, right? So I'm going to have you guys make your way over to the baptismal font, please. And if we could bring our second group of individuals to come on up, and the very same thing needs to happen, I would love for you to kind of come around Heather, surround her, and go behind her, and so we can run this again. Oh, I called a lot of people, man. All right, kind of come right up next to Heather there. Everybody straighten out over there. Yeah, Ben, thank you for coming. Now the question is going to be again, I need to find someone who is tall, so help me out. Is Heather tall?
No.
She used to be, yeah. You're not shrinking, I know that. All right, so you said no, right? But a minute ago you said yes. And nothing changed. I mean, Heather is the same person here, right? I know. I've been married to her for 21 years. I know this is Heather. We did not switch her out with anybody, but a minute ago you said yes, and now you said no. What changed? Who we were comparing her to. It makes a difference of who we are comparing to. And that's what we're going to find in our scripture passage this morning. We're going to find the comparison game happening. And what we're going to find in our passage is that comparison game dramatically impacts how we pray. All right? Heather, thank you for being our star of the show this morning. Thank you. Thank you to you all for coming up this morning. Thank you to you guys for coming up this morning. Can you thank them for helping me out this morning? If you have your Bibles open yet, and I hope you do leave them open as we study, one of the things we see, kind of the unique thing we see here, is that before Jesus begins to speak his parable, the gospel writer Luke gives a little commentary. So if you look at verse 9 with me, it says this, to some who were confident. In other words, those who are trusting or kind of assured, says to those who are confident of their own righteousness. And so Luke is describing these individuals who are looking in the mirror of spiritual maturity, and they like what they see. They're like, you are good looking. Yeah, we got it together, right? They are confident in their own righteousness. But not only are they looking at the mirror of spiritual maturity, but they're also looking through the window of spiritual maturity because it says that they are looking down on others. And that doesn't mean physically down, like from a second-story window to a ground floor. They're looking down upon their character. They're looking down upon their position. They're looking down upon their qualities or their character. To them, to those who are confident about their own righteousness and looking down upon others, to them, Jesus tells this parable. And before we go any further this morning, we have to pause here and ask a very important question. Are we one of those to whom Jesus is speaking? Are we one of those to whom Jesus is speaking? In this parable, Jesus introduces us to two people, and he tells us about two prayers. The first person is a Pharisee. We might know that a Pharisee is a religious leader amongst the Jewish community. A Pharisee is someone who takes God's law seriously. In fact, so seriously, and I think I maybe shared this before, that a Pharisee wanted to keep God's law, and so in order not to break God's law, a Pharisee would create their own rules and their own laws in order not to approach God's law. And what we find here with this Pharisee that he comes and he is comparing himself to others. He stands up in the temple, in the middle of this place of worship, and in front of what we're going to call his audience, the first thing he says is, God, thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Thank you, God, and he gets real specific. Thank you, God, that I'm not like the robbers. Thank you that I'm not like the evildoers. Thank you that I'm not like the adulterers. And God, especially thank you that I'm not like this despicable, thieving, low-life tax collector. He's comparing himself to others. And as if this prayer, if we can really call it a prayer, as if this prayer could have any more self-applause, the prayer turns into self-testimony. And he says, God, I fast 2 times a week. And the law required 1 time a year. And God, I pay a tenth. I give a tithe of everything I've got. And the law required just on some things. See, this Pharisee, in order to validate himself, he's comparing himself to others. And this prayer, again, if we can really call it a prayer, really becomes this autobiography rather than a prayer that is a conversation with God. That's what prayer is. In fact, did you notice how this prayer is even set up? Luke says this way, Jesus says this way, that the Pharisee stood up in the temple and it said, he prayed about himself. About himself. Now, if your Bible has the same footnote my Bible does, there's actually something more going on there. That the word about can also be translated as to. The Pharisee stood up and prayed to himself. These are self-infatuated, self-inflating words loosely described as a prayer, disguised as a prayer. And all because the Pharisee is confident in his own righteousness, and because he's confident in himself because he's busy comparing himself to those robbers and those evildoers and those adulterers and those tax collectors. See, the Pharisee is playing this comparison game, and he believes that he is winning by a wide margin. It's a game that we might be apt to play as well. We too play the comparison game. And you know, sometimes we maybe say, well, I am taller than so-and-so, or I maybe am smarter and got better grades. We compare that way. But beyond that, do we not compare and say, well, I'm more faithful than them. And I give more generously than them. And I serve more often than them. And sometimes we do that because we are simply trying to validate ourselves. And so, yeah, well, maybe I only go to worship, you know, 2 or 3 times a month, but it's more than that person does. Or, yeah, I don't maybe give a full tithe and a 10%, but I certainly give more than I know that guy does. Or, yeah, I'm pretty busy, but at least I serve on more teams than she does. And we play this comparison game to try to validate ourselves. To puff ourselves up. And here we see, when we play the comparison game and we're comparing to others, we can see how that can infect our prayer life. There's another individual that Jesus mentions, the before-mentioned tax collector. We maybe are aware that tax collectors were detested in this day. That they were known to be swindlers, right? They were seen to be in cahoots, right? Because they were collecting taxes from their own people on behalf of an oppressive Roman regime. And these tax collectors, they could pocket themselves anything in extra that they could take, anything extra they could get away with when they did the tax math and didn't have to show their work. To say that a tax collector was despised, that's probably too soft a term. And this tax collector knows it. But he doesn't know it because of the chit-chat he hears from the crowd. He doesn't know it because of the comparison he has with others. But rather, this tax collector, he aligns himself with the true benchmark for any of us who would profess faith in Christ and a love for God. This tax collector rightly compares himself solely to God, the holy God, the pure God, the perfect God. And in doing so, this tax collector quickly recognizes that there is only one accurate conclusion anyone can make about themselves. He says, "I am a sinner." In fact, in the Greek, it's a little more strong than that. In the Greek, it says, "the sinner." There is only one who is holy. There is only one who is perfect. There is only one who is righteous in and of himself. And that's our one true God. And you might be a really, 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 really nice person. You might even be a person who uses your manners, please and thank you. You might be a person who cleans up after themselves. You might be a person who holds the door open for those who have their hands full or lets others go before you. You might be a person who, maybe you're making meals for other people, right? Or you might be even one of those people who stays calm and cool, collected. Is that what I see in 235? You stay that way. You do not have road rage when someone cuts you off on the interstate. You might even be one of those people who compliments the pastor after a splendid sermon. That's the tip of the iceberg right there, right? You might be a person like that. But the reality is this. You're a sinner. Just like I'm a sinner. Just like the vilest of criminals are sinners. And like them, and like me, and like the person you're sitting next to this morning, and like the person who you revere because of their strong faith and their witness for Christ, and like everyone else, they need, we need, you need, I need God's mercy. And this comparison that the tax collector makes to God leads him to pray this heartfelt prayer, this prayer that is often quoted, a prayer that we ought to incorporate into our own prayer life. He says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He stands before God and asks God for mercy. It's the only thing that he says. It's the only thing he needs to say. God, have mercy on me. What is he asking for there? What is this mercy? See, we often talk about grace, and that's great. And we say that grace is getting something we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting something we do deserve. Mercy is this extension of compassion and goodness and forgiveness that is extended to those who deserve the very opposite. And you and I, as a sinner, we deserve that punishment. We deserve punishment because we're sinners. And that punishment is death. That is our fate. If it were not for the merciful work of God who offered Jesus Christ on our behalf, in our place. And Jesus, he died a sacrificial death for us. It was an example of divine compassion given for us. And through Jesus, then, we have the opportunity and the possibility of the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need. See, we deserve death, and it's our death that would only satisfy the wrath of God for our sins. But in God's mercy, it's not us who die. It's His own Son who dies. And in Jesus' death, God's wrath is satisfied, and you and I, we reap all the benefits without any of the punishment. That's mercy. And that's what the tax collector is asking of God. And knowing this about himself, he prays the only prayer that he can pray in that moment. He prays the only prayer that is necessary at that time. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. May it be a prayer that is not foreign to our lips. May it be a prayer that settles upon our own hearts and is offered by our own lips to God, recognizing who we are and recognizing God's great mercy for us. In fact, it's a prayer that has been on the lips of the church throughout the centuries. It's a prayer that has been spoken and sung in worship throughout the ages. It's called, and it comes from the Greek, the Kyrie eleison, which means, Lord, have mercy. And it's something that Christians throughout the ages have sung and prayed in worship. Lord, have mercy. Because you know what? Sometimes that is all that is needed. Sometimes that's all we can pray. In those situations that arise, sometimes all we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Or when those frustrations are starting to grow, sometimes all we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes when we're not seeing eye to eye with our spouse, or we're having frustrations with that coworker or that trusted friend, we just say, Lord, have mercy. So sometimes when that not so righteous anger is starting to well up inside of us, we can pray, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes when we have that temptation to belittle others in order to puff ourselves up, we can pray, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. And we pray this not because we are worthy of it, not because we are deserving of it, but we recognize that when we shift the comparison game from comparing ourselves to others and we compare ourselves to God, it's the only request we can make of God's grace and mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Despite that being the shortest prayer that we will study this summer, it is perhaps the prayer that packs the most important punch. Because if I am honest with myself, and if we are honest with ourselves, and we go back to that first question that we asked, we are indeed included. If we're honest with ourselves, we are indeed included in the general audience to whom this parable is directed. Because I know, I'll be honest with you, I know in my own life, I can so easily live this life fairly confident and sadly a little too smug about my own righteousness. And I can even stand up here this morning and cleverly say, God, thank you that I'm not like that Pharisee. Get it? But when I look at the world around me, and I see the evil, and I see the brokenness, and I see the messed up situations, I can name, well, I come out looking pretty good. And I might even say that I stand out when compared to this world. But if this parable demonstrates anything to us in this comparison game, that if anyone is seeking to love Christ and to love God, then our comparison is not with this world. Our comparison is with a pure and holy God. And when we compare ourselves to God, then it becomes fairly clear, yes, I do stand out, but not nearly for the same reason. We just saw on the screen here, the color of the word me did not change. It's the exact same color. The only thing that changed was the background, what it was being compared to. Friends, I humbly acknowledge before you today that I stand alongside this tax collector, and my prayer is his prayer. Would you say the same? That his prayer is also your prayer. That we are sinners in need of God's mercy.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.